Well, good morning. I used all my good material last week because I knew Will was gone, so I'd have way more time. So this week we'll just try to get through. And he didn't mention that he's going to bring Andy Stanley in to talk more about our time here on Earth, so I'm really sandwiched in between some tough stuff. But if you weren't with us last week or you forgot everything that we went over, I'll do a quick recap of the doctrine of eternity. Last week we talked about Matthew chapter 25, verses 31 to 46. And there were three observations we looked at, which is Jesus is coming back, we will face judgment, and then we will face an eternal destination. And so we looked at those three points and kind of talked about the doctrine of eternity and what that means for us as believers or as folks who maybe aren't believing in that yet and where that may lead us. So today we're going to finish up this series on doctrine. We started in, I think, end of January, early February. We're going to wrap it up this week. And today, I'm not going to share anything that's super enlightening. For those of you who have been in the church, you've probably heard many of these things before. Some of you may be new, and hopefully these are new to you. But my hope today is that they're reminders that cause us to reflect. As we enter this summer season, hopefully life slows down a little bit for us. And maybe we reflect on where are we? What did this list past year bring us? We've been through quite a bit in these last couple years. And so allow us to refocus our energy. Paul David Tripp says, true belief is always lived. Faith is never just something you do with your mind, but it is also a commitment of your heart that changes the way you live your everyday life. And so hopefully we can take some inventory on how are we living. You know, we know these things in our head, but how are they acting out through what we're doing each day? As we jump into today's message, I want to start with a quick illustration. And so a lot of us, you know, maybe some of you guys have a digital camera and they have this amazing technology. Most of us have a phone that we can take pictures on. And a lot of these come with autofocus where, boom, they look at through that lens and they say, this is what looks good. We're going to take this really beautiful picture. But it tells us kind of what looks good in that picture. What are we focused on? And then we have to refocus it. If it's like, no, actually, I don't want that kid in the shot. I want my kid who's sitting a little further back. And things like that where we have to change it and use what we want to come out of that. And life can be really similar. You know, as we look at it, the world is trying to auto-focus our lens on certain things. We hear certain messages over and over again. If we watch TV, if we go out in society, there's these messages that we hear. And so life, you know, the world is trying to take our lens and focus it in on things that maybe aren't biblical and aren't the things that God wants us to focus on. So society is pressing on us to say things like live in the moment, focus on everything you can do today, get more, take those things. The pace of life seems to go faster and faster. You need to be a part of more things. You need to get involved in more things and do more. And as believers, we can get caught up in this busyness. In our daily lives, we strive after the things of the world, and we begin to lose sight that there is an eternal destination that the world's not acknowledging. The world doesn't want to talk about eternity. It wants to talk about today and what's happening. What can you do with today? We're going to look at Psalm 73. So if you have your Bible with you and you want to open up to Psalm 73, and we're going to have a few passages that we're going to pull out of that and specifically look at some things in there. We'll start in verse 2, and this is talking about a life that is out of focus. And so when we begin to move away from the things God wants for us, how it can change our heart and our affect. And in verse 2, it begins with, "But as for me, my feet had almost stumbled. My steps had nearly slipped, for I was envious of the arrogant when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. For they have no pangs until death. Their bodies are fat and sleek. They are not in trouble as others are. They are not stricken like the rest of mankind." And I think this is what happens when we lose that focus. We begin to focus on the things around us and we become envious of maybe the things that other people have or the prosperity that we've seen in other people. This is a big one in social media today. That's where social media makes their money, as I'm looking at everybody else's highlight reel and I'm engaged in what's going on in those other people's lives. And oftentimes it brings discontentment for us because we begin to want maybe what they have, or we think, man, maybe my life would be better if. And we lose focus on what God has for us. And we start to look at what others have, and we start to lose that focus and start to look at things that aren't what God wants for us. Their lives seem so fulfilled, but I'm struggling. And so as you look at this passage in Psalm 73, he's starting to look at that and saying, man, this just feels unfair. They look like they're doing so well, yet I'm over here struggling every day to get through. Verse 12 continues on, and it says, "Behold, these are the wicked, always at ease, they increase in riches. All in vain I have kept my heart clean and washed my hands of innocence. For all the day long, I have been stricken and rebuked every morning. And he starts to lose hope. Like, man, this is just not for me. Life is unfair. I want that comfort and ease that I see in their world, and I don't want to continue to fight this battle that I'm fighting. And his efforts and actions look like they're done in vain. And for a lot of us, we may be sitting here and saying that. Many of us might be feeling good, but there's going to be some other things. But you start to lose that focus, and we really are searching for heaven here on earth. It would be so nice if those things that I read about and that I think are going to happen would happen today. I don't want to go through this struggle anymore. But what we're going to look at today is that impatience. And that can even be for those of us that are doing well. We have that impatience and saying, I want it now. I don't want to wait for that future hope. I don't want to wait for that eternity. So what are some things in our lives today that maybe show us that we've lost our eternal focus, some things we may focus our attention on instead of God? And the first one is focusing on ourselves. We trust in our skills, intelligence, and ability. And this is, again, where we look at our circumstances or our situation. We begin to think, like, this is the problem, is where I am right now is why I'm feeling this discontentment. Whatever's going on around me is bringing me discontentment, and that I, and we start focusing on what we have going on. And so often what society tells us to do is jump in the driver's seat, take control. If you take control, you can change your circumstances, and then you'll feel better. If you just had a little bit more, or if you had a different job, or if you did life a little differently, then you're going to feel that contentment. And we make things happen. So for some of us, it might be, hey, you know, we're looking at, if I worked a little bit harder, this would probably work itself out. Or if I just change my current circumstances a little bit, things would be better. And instead of sitting in the season God has you and saying, what are you teaching me, Lord? We're trying to get out of that season into something that would feel more comfortable, maybe more happy, more joyful in here and now. Romans 12 opens with, you know, talking about us being a living sacrifice and being transformed by the renewing of our minds, which is such an important thing. But verse 3 gives us a good warning. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. Our sin's going to cause us to take credit for things that aren't ours. And it's going to cause us to have an inflated view of ourselves. And so this is something we constantly have to put in check. Is how am I dealing with that nature? Because our nature is going to say, hey, if you did more, hey, if you worked a little harder, hey, if you change this, it'll work out for you, instead of trusting and staying in our place and saying, God, you have the wheel. What are you doing in my life, or what can I do to follow you? So instead of us sitting in that passenger seat and waiting, we're going to be a backseat driver, and we're going to start to tell God, this is where I want to go. This is how it's going to work out, and lose sight of what he has for us in our future. You know, the second thing that we tend to focus on is specific people in our lives. And we put our trust in the people around us who will inevitably not be able to carry that burden. And this is a tough one because God tells us to focus on others. We see the one another's throughout the Bible and how we can serve people. I mean, this morning, how encouraging it is to hear all the things that are going on, where people are serving our community. But there's also a problem when we take those people and we elevate them too high and we put them in God's seat. And this happens a lot in marriage. You know, where we start to put these expectations on our partner to say, hey, if you did this, then I would feel better. If you just took care of these things, then I wouldn't be so frustrated or I wouldn't be so disappointed. And we put that weight on people, and we know that when we do that and we put people in the place of God, we're asking them to do something that they can't fulfill. We're giving them expectations that are impossible for them to meet. And this also happens with family, with friendship. So any relationship that's close to us, and we begin to crush these people under those unrealistic expectations. And we see these things as burdens and things that aren't fulfilling us because they're not meant to. This also happens with people outside of our circle. I think we do it with pastors or mentors or different people who have podcasts. We start to elevate these people and say, man, they have it all figured out. And you worship that person and you worship their truth. And inevitably, we see that those people struggle. Or they stumble, and we've seen a lot of people walk away from the faith because I believe that that person was right, and then they did something that was so bad that I could never follow that belief anymore because they've put that person in Jesus's place. Jeremiah 17, 5-8 says, this is what the Lord says, cursed is the one who trusts in man, who draws strength from mere flesh and whose heart turns away from the Lord. That person will be like a bush in the wastelands. They will not see prosperity when it comes. They will dwell in the parched places of the desert, in the salt where no one lives. So again, we talked about how miserable this can be when we separate ourselves from the Lord and we begin to look at, man, we're going to be thirsting for more. We're constantly seeking more because we can't find that ultimate fulfillment that comes when we see eternity. The contrast to that, he continues, is, but blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. They will be like a tree planted by water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when the heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought and never fails to bear fruit. And what a comparison there of one that's just dry and weary in the desert versus one that's fulfilled no matter what those circumstances are, no matter when that drought comes, they're by that source of water. And so we have to think about in our lives, are we left thirsty because we're drinking what the world has to offer and we're seeking more of it and more of it? And I thought about, you know, if you drink salt water and you keep drinking, it actually makes you more thirsty and more thirsty, and you keep consuming and it's actually killing you. But you keep trying versus that fresh water, the living water that God gives us, and we take that drink and how quickly it quenches our thirst. And only God can weather the droughts of life. We're going to go through hard times. And there's going to be times where we maybe don't feel like, woo, things are great. But God can sustain us through that with his living water. And then it talks about that those people will not see prosperity when it comes because we get so focused on our circumstances that we miss that eternal prize that God put there because we're so focused on something what turns out to be such a blip on the radar in God's view. The third thing that I think causes us to lose focus is we focus on the things of this world, and this is one that is so common in all of society. We trust in the world to find our purpose and fulfillment. For many of us, that's job or career. We put all of our energy and time into this job that we work at, and you know that can be such a blessing, but can also be such a curse. It may be hobbies, could be material possessions. We're trying to gain more. And then for some of us, it might be status. There's some hierarchy that we see that we're trying to move up. And we're trying to spend our energy moving up this ladder that the world has put there. We all naturally calibrate ourselves to others. We're constantly looking around us and seeing how we're doing, even in the church. Like, okay, if I'm more like that person, okay, they're doing a good job. And we're calibrating ourselves, and we're drawn into what the world says daily. As we go through life, there's all these messages pressing in on us of what's important and what we should focus our time on. Ephesians 2, 1 through 3 says, as for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. So we all have this hopefully past life where we consume by the world and we constantly went after what the world had to offer. And as we slide back into that, there's an enemy who's ready to grab us. He says, yeah, that's where you want to spend your time and energy, because if I can distract you from eternity, I can get you focused on the things here in the world. And Satan wants us to do that. But those consequences we talked about are so grave. When our lens becomes focused on the wrong things, it can quickly cause us to slide down that trail. C.S. Lewis said, it is since Christians have largely ceased to think of the other world that they have become so ineffective in this. Aim at heaven, and you will get earth thrown in. Aim at earth, and you will get neither. So if we chase the world, we'll end up with nothing. If we chase heaven, God will bring fulfillment here. He may not bring ease. He may not bring comfort. He may not always bring happiness. But he will make our time here worthwhile and fruitful. So as we see these things that cause us to lose focus, you know, we know what brings us back into focus, and that's what God can do. He can renew our minds and the things that we focus our energy on, and he can realign us to that eternal perspective. Looking back at Psalm 73, verse 16. But when I thought how to understand this, it seems to me a wearisome task, until I went into the sanctuary of God. Then I discerned their end. And hopefully that's why we're here, is because we know throughout the week, our lens is going to be hit in multiple ways. It's going to get adjusted. It's going to get messed with. But when we come here and we're around other believers and we're a part of the church, all of a sudden that wearisome task doesn't become so hard because we have people around us that will help us. It's not just the church building, the sanctuary itself, but it's the people that are in there, the truth that is in there, that's going to bring us back to an understanding of God. And this is a time where we can focus not on the things that we see, but on those invisible things that are around us, that God has put there, eternity, something that we can't grasp on our own. We can be brought back to that. So as we look at what we can do to keep our focus on the eternal things, it starts with that, being in community with other believers. You think about church, Bible studies, different things, ways you can do that, but being in community and studying God's word brings us accountability, clarity, support, truth, and discernment. I mean, just this morning, just sitting here and listening to what's going on in our church and what people are doing, I can't not be encouraged to say, man, look at all the things going on. Look at all the amazing things that people are doing to impact our community. The second one, something we talk about all the time, spend time each day in God's word. And we talk about this all the time, but it truly might be the only truth that we take in throughout the day. If we go out and do a secular job and we go out and do the things of the world, that might be the only time that God can quiet our hearts. And we talked about how there's that pace. I think there's also a noise around us. There's constant noise telling us what is important, what should you spend your time on. And that is a time where we can quiet our hearts and say, God, what do you have for me? If I live with eternity in view, what does that mean for me today? The third one that we want to look at is worshiping the creator, not the creation. We're reading through the New Testament. If you're following kind of along with the church and we're hitting into Romans, my wife's a little ahead of me because she's an overachiever and I'm probably behind. But in Romans 1 and 2, it was just such a great passage to think about where we are today. Romans 1 verses 24 and 25 says, therefore, God gave them up to the lusts of their hearts, to impurity, to the dishonoring of their bodies among themselves, because they exchanged the truth about God for a lie, and they worshiped and served the creature rather than the creator who is blessed forever. That's an exchange that happens daily, and it's such one that the world has grasped onto, is, you know, go after what you want in your heart. Who cares what the consequences are? Do what's best for you. And that exchange, how easy it is us to exchange the created thing for the creator, and to put it in its place and say, yeah, I'm chasing after what God has made, but I'm doing it for myself. And we don't like delayed gratification. We don't want to wait for that eternal value. We want to try to take that now and worship it now in the here and now. And so we serve the creature and not the creator. But when we put God on the throne, he's going to guide our steps. We don't have to stand in that way. So we have to look at how are we spending our time, our resources, so things like money, energy, time, how are we doing that? Are those the things we value we will also invest in? So are we investing in the created things for ourselves, or are we investing in those created things because we want to bring back glory to our creator? And as we do that, we take that inventory. It can be uncomfortable, and it can be something that's hard because, you know, all of us want some comfort and some enjoyment, but balancing that with the things that God has for us is so important. The last one is, if we are bringing our focus back in, we're going to live with an anxious anticipation. We're going to acknowledge that this is not our destination. This is not the ultimate goal for our lives. 2 Corinthians 4:16 to 18 says, therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. And I think this is such a good culmination. We do not lose heart. And we saw at the beginning of Psalm 73, he began to lose heart and be frustrated because he was focused on those around him and why they were getting all these wonderful things and his life was a struggle. But in God's eyes, in eternity, this is a light and momentary trouble. It feels like a long time. We talked about last week when forever really is forever. And we talk about we had a bad day or a bad week. It can feel like a long time. But in light of eternity, it makes those things so small and puts them in their place. And we are awaiting to achieve an eternal glory that far outweighs it all. There's nothing that can be in that place. That eternal glory is greater than anything we're going to find here on earth. No person, no place, no material possession can sit in that. So we have to ask God regularly that we see what he wants us to see and have a heart that he wants for us. And we can pray, God, open my eyes to what you have for me. If I look in view of eternity, what does that mean for me today? So if I refocus this lens, what do you want me to see in that picture? And as we do that, we're going to see the least and the lost. We're going to see those who need Jesus, and he's going to begin to use us as instruments for his glory. And that's why we get involved. I mean, in these missions, things like service projects in the community, you've heard multiple opportunities this morning. Getting involved, I can't help but if you go on a mission trip, to come not come back and feel so blessed by what we have. We go to these countries, if you've been to Mexico, Guatemala, different places, and you come back and you can't help but say, wow, I am amazingly blessed. Even in our community, when we get out and serve others, we see just how much God has blessed us with. And why is this important? If we look back at Psalm 73, verse 18, truly you set in slippery places, you make them fall in ruin. You know, this life is an illusion. Everything around us is going to disappear, and the consequence is going to be eternal. And we close with Psalm 73, verses 23 to 28. Nevertheless, I am continually with you. You hold my right hand. You guide me with your counsel, and afterward you will receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but you? And there is nothing on earth that I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. For behold, those who are far from you shall perish. You shall put an end to everyone who is unfaithful to you. But for me, it is good to hear God, to be near God. I have made the Lord God my refuge, and I may tell of all your works. God says, draw near to me, and I will stay close to you. When we stay close to the Lord, he helps us keep things in focus. He helps our lens see the things that he wants them to see. We can't do this on our own, but God will provide us with the strength we need to not fall prey to the world's enticement. Everything else is a fleeting pleasure, but the Lord has set eternity before us, and we can live for him and declare his good works. So this is the culmination of all that hard work and refocusing our energy. He says that you will be able to sustain to the end, and you will have the ultimate prize. So I hope this morning, as we look at this, we can do a quick inventory of how are we spending our time and our energy and our resources. You know, if people look through your snapshots, we bring back to that illustration of a camera, if people looked at the snapshots of your life right now, what would they be focused on? What would that look like if somebody flipped through your picture book? And we can pray that God would reveal to each of us ways that we need to refocus. So we can look through our own picture book and kind of say, hey, let's see, how are we spending our time as a family? How are we spending our money and our energy? And then we can seek out wisdom from trusted friends and fellow believers. He said, be in community, come to church, be around people, because they're going to speak that truth into your life. And when we have that wisdom, it helps us discern what does God have for us and what is important. Once we have eternity in focus, then we live with anxious anticipation. We live with purpose. We can, again, live with hope. Billy Graham said, for the believer, there is hope beyond the grave, because Jesus Christ has opened the door to heaven for us by his death and resurrection. So we can have that hope for eternity instead of being stuck in the current, the here and now. And that will cause us to live with urgency, sharing truth with others, and we can go out and be used by God to affect others, to impact others, and to draw more people to him. So hopefully as you go out this week, you can do that inventory. You can bring with your family, with your spouse, and continue to seek out what God has for you. Thanks.